I see that I do have a quorum, so we're ready now to start the June 26, 2024 meeting of the Coastal Regional MPO. Will now come to order. The core MPO is holding an in-person meeting with all virtual options for non-voting members and members of the public. For staff, board members, and members of the public who are participating in today's agenda is broken down into the following items. Approval of the agenda, committee reports, action item to be presented by staff, other business, status report on current projects activity, information reports, other public comments, notes by the chairman, and adjournment. For each agenda item, action item, the staff will make a presentation. The board may then ask questions of the staff for clarification. During the public comment section, the floor will be open to the public to discuss matters on the agenda. For members of the public that are online, if you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. For persons attending the meeting in person who desire to speak, staff will provide you with a speaker's card. At the appropriate time, I will recognize you and staff will direct you to the microphone. At the end of the allotted time, as determined by me, you will be notified that your time has expired and I will recognize the next speaker. This meeting will now be called to order. First order of business on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. May I have a motion, please?
Mr. Chairman.
Second. Need to identify yourself. Pull your mic down and identify yourself.
Tom Milton.
Move approval of the adjournment.
Palumbo, second.
Been properly motioned and second that the agenda be approved. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote starting with my far right. Identify yourself and your vote.
Means yes.
Peter Kobe, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Steve Scholar, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
Aches, yes.
Kellman, yes.
Hutcherson, yes.
Matthew Walker, yes.
The chairman, yes. The motion passes. Let me ask everybody on the board, make sure when you punch that the red light comes on, all right? And so that we've got to make sure it's clear and concise on the recording, all right? So just test your mic, and there should be a red light that comes on at the base. Got it? All right. All right. At this time, we will have committee reports.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
The CAC met this month, but did not have a quorum, so could not move on the action items.
Okay.
And ACAP met this Monday, but also did not have a quorum and could not act on the action items.
Okay. CCT, CC.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The TCC met on June 20th. We approved all of the action items. There were some discussion around the 2050 MTP project list that took place with offering local support and recommending different projects. Thank you.
All right. Executive Director's report.
My report basically is that we're getting ready to launch another public outreach effort for the 2050 plan. So we will be doing a press release about that next week. So please make sure that all of the people in your community know about that. And I just want to thank staff. We've all been working really diligently to move that project forward, but we also are getting ready to start a certification or recertification with the federal government. So we will be talking with several of you with regards to that over the next few months.
All right, let me ask you, Mr. Director, let me ask you a procedural question. We're going to talk about the 2050 plan a little later down the line, or Wakota will. Do you have those dates already set up, or you have to make them up?
I'm sorry, I don't have the, we do have, we should have the date set up, and we'll make sure that we go over that with you when she goes over that.
Okay. Are we able to broadcast that on the screen?
Yes. What we'll do is,
while she's doing the report.
It'll probably be broadcasted that way. I think that we can, but, we also, which I almost forgot to mention, we also just hired a part-time, public information officer who will be doing releases. So it will be on the different news channels. We'll put it on, the city of Savannah's website as well as, the county's website and any of the other jurisdictions that might have streaming, services, and it'll be on our webpage. But we're getting ready to start that public engagement launch.
Okay. I just want to mention this. We are going to send our document out, starting the 30-day public review period for the 2050 plan, from July 1st to July the 30th. And we are still scheduling the different, public outreach venues. So we will do at least August the 7th. You're going to have a public hearing at this board meeting. And then we are going to do at least one virtual meeting. We are still trying to decide on the date and the time. And we also will have one in-person meeting. We are still trying to reach out to research about the venues. And then we are going to go to the Forsyth Park Farmers Market. So we're still trying to decide which Saturday we go out. And then I talked with Effingham County. We're going to do a presentation at the Effingham TAB meeting. And then we also reach out to CAT. And thank you, Effingham, and thank you, CAT. And we're going to do a presentation at the CAT board meeting in July, all in July. And any of you, if you have a spot for us, 10 to 15 minutes, we would be willing to just go to your city council meeting whichever meeting that you want us to go. And I actually asked the chairman yesterday and then the county manager whether you can accommodate us for like 10 to 15 minutes. But like others, Garden City or airport or, like City of Savannah, if you would like to accommodate us, we would go and the puller as well. But besides that, we will also research on different events because we will have a like Title VI event coming up over here. We want to tag along with that because we are addressing equity in our plan. So we would do a presentation and probably the Coastal Georgia Indicators meeting. So we are still researching the different venues and trying and also reach out to the neighborhoods to see whether they would accommodate us. Because if we host the meetings, normally a lot of people don't come, but if we need to go to them, we need to go to the people.
Okay. And the reason I want to make that, all the municipalities and all the government agencies that have websites, if you will, let MPO put a link in there so that your particular citizens and your particular, and I'm just going to use Pool of Bloomingdale, Port Wentworth, Garden City, City of Savannah, Vernonburg, Thunderbolt, Tybee. If any of those have websites that you can attach to, or you can attach the link to.
Yeah, we will. When we do the press release, we will make sure that we send it to all of you. So please help us advertise this because this is very important.
And as I said, we will advertise the dates that we know for sure, which will be your August the 7th meeting. And that's what I mean by saying we at least know that date is
right, certain
because we have to advertise that for a length of time. But in addition to that, as Wakota indicated, if you happen to have some space in your community that you would like to offer up, that would help us out a lot with regards to actually having space inside of your particular jurisdiction. So just let us know with regards to that. But the other stuff, we do actually have some dates, and we'll put those out.
And the reason I'm pushing that out now is because I know that, for instance, there are folks who don't read the MPO website or the MPO's website, but they do read your particular website that's in your jurisdiction. So if you could help us push this out, because it's going to be very important to this board and to us, especially as we get those federal funds coming this way, all right, that we have public input. That's going to be very important, and it doesn't make any sense for us to call a meeting down here and three people show up, all right? But there are community organizations, even if we can combine two communities together mm-hmm. to make a presentation about what's going on. So we have to change what we're doing so that I agree with you with Arcota, and that's why we here when we had the conversation yesterday. This is one of those things where we need to go where the people are and don't think that the people going to come where we are, all right? Because sometimes we can't make it accommodating for their time, all right? They work 9 to 5. So if you have it at 10 o'clock in the morning, they can't leave jobs. But if you have it at their community meeting or at their HOA meeting, and they give you space to make those presentations, that would do world of wonders.
Yeah, we will send you the press release. Please help us advertise. And if you you can accommodate us at your meeting as well, just reach out to me so that we can just go and do the presentation.
Whoever your public relations person is, let them get with our staff, okay, to help you push it through your community. All right.
Okay.
All right. I just want to make sure that we were on that same page.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
We can still flash what we have as to the first date that you already have set up. Flash it as you go to report. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. All right. We're going to our action items now. All right. Approval of the May 3rd, 2024 Core MPO board meeting minutes. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Got to say who?
Oh, Steve Scholar, City of Richmond Hill.
Did you go to his second?
Probably motion and second that the minutes from the May 3rd meeting be adopted. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your votes by starting to my far left.
Matthew Walker, yes.
Tom Hutcherson, yes.
Callahan, yes.
Got some electronical problems down here to my left.
Hicks, yes. Melder, yes. Palumbo, yes.
Tegler, yes.
Milton, yes.
Scholar, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Cody, yes.
Campbell, yes.
Means, yes.
The chairman, yes. All right, that passes. Let's move on now to Ms. Arcota. You call by the tip first.
I'll be giving the tip.
All right, you doing the tip?
Yes.
Okay. All right, but it had her name down here.
Okay. So in April and May of 2024, we received several tip requests from Chatham Area Transit and the Georgia Department of Transportation. So I'll be giving a quick summary of those tip amendments. Also for the public participation process, the public comment period for these tip amendments started on June 12th and is ending today on June 26th. And we also advertised this meeting as a public hearing as well. On to the amendments for the FBP Dock Rehab. CAT requested the construction funds be programmed for fiscal year 2025 with flex funds. The total cost of this phase would be $454,000 with $360,000 coming from the flex funds and a $90,000 local match. For the FBP ferry replacement, CAT is requesting several funds be programmed in the construction phase of fiscal year 2025. The total cost being $6 million on the federal side. The flex funds account for over $1 million with a $279,000 local match. The THUD funds account for $1.8 million with a $450,000 federal match. local match from the Georgia Transit Trust Fund and an additional $2.2 million match from the Georgia Transit Trust Fund. And then also an $81,000 local match as well. For the Section 5307 funding for preventative maintenance, CAT requested to amend funding amounts for preventative maintenance in fiscal year 2025. The amended funds would be $1.8 million of Section 5307 funds with a $457,000 local match. And in Section 5307 for operating assistance, CAT requested an increase in local funding and operating assistance for fiscal year 2025. And that would be an increase from $0 to $2.7 million. On to GDOT's projects for SR 404/UP/US-17. GDOT requested to add a right-of-way phase in fiscal year 2025 with $500,000 in Y-800 funds, $400,000 being the federal portion and $100,000 being the local match. They also requested to move the construction phase from fiscal year 2025 to fiscal year 2026 with no change in funding. And the last step amendment is SR-26/US-80 at Lazaretto Creek. GDOT requested to move the construction phase with Y-800 funds from fiscal year 2025 to fiscal year 2028, which will remove that phase from this specific tip. Also, $20 million of these funds, the total cost would be $20 million, with $16 million coming from the federal government, $4 million is from the state. Also, GDOT requested to move the right-of-way phase from fiscal year 2024 to fiscal year 2026 with Y-240 funds. $16,000 of those funds is federal and $4,000 is state, and the local portion is $120,000. So this is just the appendix showing the updated funding tables. We're going to scroll to... We also double-check to ensure that all projects are consistent with Mobility 2045, which they are. And then we also double-checked to ensure that other projects that had funds programmed in fiscal year 2024 are good to go and are not at risk of lapsing. And so these projects are all good to go. They're not at risk of lapsing. We also received comments from FHWA, and Mary will provide some clarification on that.
Good morning. Mary Moskowitz with Chatham Area Transit. The FHWA had asked that the dock projects were capital, and so I just want to reiterate that the dock projects are for capital improvement projects to two existing docks that we have. Thank you.
All right. Is there any question now from any board member about any of that? Any clarification needed? All right. So now we need to do the resolution.
A public hearing first.
Okay. All right. So may I have a motion now to open the public hearing?
So moved, Mr. Chairman. Palumbo.
Second, Carol.
Milton.
Probably motion and second that the public hearing be open. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote starting to my far right.
Means yes.
Campbell, yes.
Cody, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Scholar, yes.
Milton, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Elder, yes.
Yates, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Hutcherson, yes.
Walker, yes.
The chairman, yes. All right, public hearing is now open. Do we have anyone online with a raised hand? Any comments from any or any questions? All right. None. All right, is there any member of the audience in here today have any questions about what we're doing and the resolution that we're getting ready to put into place? Hearing none. All right, is there any board member who need to make a comment before we do the resolution? All right, none. All right, may I have a motion to close the public hearing?
Mr. Chairman, I move to close the hearing. Palumbo.
Probably motion and second that the public hearing be closed. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote. Signing to my far left. And
Walker, yes.
Hutcherson, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Hicks, yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Milton, yes.
Scholar, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Cody, yes.
Campbell, yes.
Mains, yes.
The chairman, yes. All right, now, may I have a motion now? We're going to do the resolution now. All right?
Yes.
So now, may I have a resolution? And all of you should have in front of you what the resolution says, and I'm going to just do the last part. Now, therefore, be it resolved, all right, that the Coastal Regional Metropolitan Planning Organization approved the proposed amendments to the fiscal year 2024 through 2027 Transportation Improvement Program, as shown in the summary of the TIP amendment staff report, with any corrections based upon the motion of the June 26, 2024. All right?
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the resolution. Palumbo.
Hutcherson, second.
Probably motion and second that the resolution be approved. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote starting to my far right.
Mains, yes.
Campbell, yes.
Cody, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Scholar, yes.
Milton, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
Hicks, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Hutcherson, yes.
Walker, yes.
And the chairman, yes. All right.
Thank you.
All right, Marcola.
Good morning. Before I do my presentation, I just want to make sure. I think Hint asked me to remind you to refresh your screen because we did replace one of the presentation files. Okay. So refresh your screen. Just click on this. The presentation file, the updated presentation file will be there.
Okay.
We have been talking about the 2050 MTP update for over 2 years, and we started our first round in September 2022, and we actually went to about 40 meetings, events. And the second round, we have at least 10 meetings that we attended to give a status update. And the third round, we just mentioned we're going to probably will have at least 10 meetings to give the presentation. And this will be focusing on the project list. So I did talk to you about how we got the revenues at the last meeting. So I'll just briefly go over this. And this is the chapter 6 of the plan. So we got the original revenue from GDOT, and then we made some adjustment. I also showed you what kind of adjustments we had. So we had adjustments from the TIP, and we also had adjustments from the grant, and then the cost estimates. So you can see eventually we have about, for each cost band, the revenues will be divided into projects and the maintenance. So for projects, we have $545 million in cost band one and $551 million in cost band two, and then $658 million in cost band three. And then we divided the revenues into the different categories. So you have revenues for specific projects, and you also have revenues for operational improvements set aside. And then you also have revenues for non-motorized transportation set aside, and then revenues for transit projects set aside. So what I'm talking about over here is just the highway portion of it. So even if you see transit projects, these are the highway money that we are willing to flex to CAT to help them with the transit projects. So we have set aside for operational non-motorized transit, and then you also have another maintenance project. It's its own revenue category. So for specific projects, in cost band one, we have $424 million. For cost band two, we have $456 million. And then in cost band three, we have $548 million. That's like deduct all those set asides. So these would be how much money we would have for specific projects. And then how do we select the projects? So those projects are already in the pipeline, will be automatically carried over to the 2050. And then the highest priority projects will be included in this project list. So, and then we have to do a financial balance. So basically we have to do cost estimating, for the projects. Before I go to that project list, I just want to mention that, we did have a special called TCC meeting to go over. I know the chairman asked me to make this bigger, because it's, But this 11 by 17 is how big it is. So we have to do the project prioritization for newly additional projects. And so I showed you the matrix. So all of this, you have more than 200 projects that's coming from congestion management process, coming from travel demand model, coming from the coastal empire study, coming from the freight plan, regional freight plan, and coming from the corridor studies, US 80 corridor study, Studio 7 corridor study. So we have a big project selection process. So we have more than 200 projects. And these projects that are listed over here are the top 30 capacity projects that we selected to go through this further prioritization, because these projects have the potential to be included in the final project list. So we actually use the performance-based planning criteria as the basis. And then we also use the federal planning emphasis area as the basis. And then we also use the goals and objectives of the 25th MTP as the basis. So we went through three tiers of screening. So the first tier is based on the needs. So you have system performance, it corresponds to system performance. So you have facilities level of service EOF, it will have a higher score. If it has high truck volumes, it has higher score. And then safety, if it has more freight crashes, so you want to reduce the crashes. So you have higher score, and high crash rates also have higher score. And then the state of good repair, this is corresponding to performance-based planning, performance-based planning 2, PM2. So it's based on pavement condition, bridge sufficiency ratings. So you have all of those three. And then we also went for the 2050 plan. We also did the prioritization based on sustainability and resiliency. And I did a presentation to you at last meeting. So we have several criteria over there. So we use the federal two for that process. And then we also have the last this is also a planning emphasis area from federal government. We did equity screening. So that will consider transit connections, bike connections, pedestrian connections, and Title VI considerations, and then other safety considerations. So the total score over here is just the first step for us to select projects. You can see on the other side, other considerations, additional considerations. So if this project is a local priority, it will be selected. And if it's consistent with 2045 MTP, and for consistency reason, we will consider that. And if the project has alternative funding itself, it doesn't impact all the other projects, you don't have to kick out other projects, you will be included. So, and the feasibility. There are also additional considerations. And also want to mention, I know we actually presented this to the TCC in May and trying to get input. So at that time we didn't get much input, but when we started to develop project list and we realized that like President Street wasn't selected, or President Street was ranked low on this project list, that's because when we do the ranking, some of the projects, if the project is coming from like Coastal Empire Study, it has a project description. So we read the project description. We know what the concept looks like. But some of the projects, we don't have the concept. So for President Street, we know the President Street study is ongoing right now, but we don't have the final recommendations yet. So we just have to assume it's just making improvements to the ramps. So you're not considering the transit connection. So you're not getting scores for the transit connection. You're not getting scores for the bike connection, pedestrian connection. So that's why it's ranked low. But and then another project I think we had a problem with was the I-95 at Aries Avenue, because in the original study there were so many options. So depending on different options, have different costs. So just want to make sure. This is not the final scoring. This is just the scoring to help us to select the projects. So this is just the kind of assistance. So unless we have the like full concept, we will not be able to revise this scoring sheet. But I know the President Street President Street Railroad Elimination Study is ongoing. They are going to come up with recommendations. So based on that, we will probably re-rank this. So just one thing for that. And another thing is that even that project, the different recommendations, we have different cost estimates. So whatever I'm using right now is based on Chatham County, what Chatham County sent me for TSPLOST. That's the cost figure that I used from TSPLOST as the basis. But when we have the eventual recommendations, we will have the actual numbers to replace those. So this is a big sheet, worksheet you see over here. And then just the next page actually have the total scores for projects. So
hold on just before you go there, Wakoda. All right, let us get, because you and I and the managers discussed this a little while ago. Let's go back to the railroad, to the President Street.
Okay.
All right, pull that up. And I want the manager from the city and whoever else you need to make comments go.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, thank you so much for the opportunity, because we do have some significant questions. And looking at this list, can you explain a little bit about how staff prepares the scoring rubric for each of these assessments?
Genesis did the scoring for the needs assessment, and Anna did the resiliency scoring, and then Asia did the equity scoring. So we were using level of service. We have the model, travel demand model output, the steep model. So it shows if it's red. Actually, I showed you at last meeting, if it's red, it's level of service E or F. And then it will get 10 score. So for that, and high truck volume, that is also, we actually have a scoring that shows, like how much will be 10, how much will be 5, how much will be 1. Freight crashes, we have a density, crash map. And the pavement conditions, we also have that, from the freight plan. So we do have specific numbers that we go by.
But I noticed that these are very broad numbers on a scale of 1 to 10. It doesn't give us that level of data and insight that we might have as a necessity to prioritize these projects, particularly when it comes to the President Street overpass and the connections there. I note that, you know, they're scoring for level of service. You know, you have everybody scoring a 10, but this one scores a 1.
Yeah,
can you help us understand why it would rank so low?
We can go back to the steep model. Let me just hold on. We will just go back.
Excuse me, please. Excuse me. I can't. I have hearing trouble, and I'm not able to hear anybody that's not at the podium.
That's why you need to get to the mic. All right, whoever, because I saw Asia. You wanted to say something about this too, as well, right? All right, come to the mic and identify yourself and say.
Anna Brooks, I'd just like to say that with the President Street, with the level of service, while the level of service decreases greatly when we have the train, you know, blocking the crossing, it's not a consistent enough problem for the level of service of the roadway to consistently be an E or an F. And so that's why it's kind of hard to justify that metric, because it's not a consistent, oh, it's always an E or an F every time people are at this intersection.
But for our needs assessment, are we measuring the need or the current conditions?
We have to use a certain criteria. I was trying to go back to the last meeting. Let me just bring you.
Because let me give you a quick example while you're pulling that up. Let's say that there's a dangerous intersection for pedestrians, but if we're measuring the number of pedestrians that are there, how are we able to accurately measure that dangerous intersection if it's so dangerous that pedestrians cannot cross? I know, based on my evidence and being there at the intersection, that is an extremely dangerous intersection for pedestrians to cross. You have major truck traffic crossing east and west. You have rail traffic that's out there. And if I'm a pedestrian or a cyclist and I'm trying to get to my destination or work or my home, I'm not able to do that. So how do we ensure that that's measured in this rubric?
Well, you got to have some kind of a measurement. So I mean, I'm bringing up this map over here. Actually, I think the President Street that probably doesn't show as E or F. So I mean, you gotta have some measurable metrics for the prioritization. It's not very.
If I may, one of the things that's consistently, we have to be consistent with the data that we get and having a data
point. Yeah.
So if you have additional evidence that you'd like to share with the TCC, because that group is the one that prioritized this. We didn't do it on our own. We used and as members of the TCC includes members from all the jurisdictions, CDOT and other folks. We didn't do it ourselves or come up with this rubrics on our own, but it has to be based on proven data, and it has to be consistent. We got a lot of data from when we did the updates with the freight plan and some other planning documents that we've done. So we have to use or have a starting baseline. At the time that this was put together, right now, the train crossing did not show up at a level of service E and F.
Yeah, just
so it does not mean that as we move forward with getting comments, that's why we have a public comment period, that we can't, as the TCC, revisit that and move it higher based on additional information. So this was graded based on the facts that we had now, and hopefully that will help you understand it. But there is the opportunity to revisit the scoring, which the TCC will do once this public input
The scoring will go through the public review process as well, because this is part of the 2050 MTP. So we cannot give you just one exception project and then not using all the criteria for other projects. So every project has to be evaluated equally based on all of these criteria.
I understand.
So,
I understand, but we're talking, and help me understand this. So we're saying that this is a professionally scored rubric based on data.
Yes.
That data generates this. However, I'm also hearing that it's eligible to be rescored based on public input.
Yes, that's why when I showed you the prioritization, remember I showed you this on the right side, because normally when you have a travel demand model or whatever, and you have to present that, and then you have to do the validation. So who does the validation? The people who use the roadways or the technical people who does the analysis, they validate, they see whether this model is valid or not. So that's why you have this local priority, consistency, alternative fund, financial feasibility, all of these. So these are the considerations, and also the people, the TCC people, they see this scores and they see whether it makes any sense. So we presented this scoring sheet to the TCC on May the 15th. We didn't receive any scoring. We didn't receive any comments, until we started to develop the project list based on this score.
I understand.
There will be other considerations.
And also, Mr. Palumbo, part of this process, which is part of the 3C process, is that we deal with baseline and we get the technical information, and the
yes.
TCC reviews that. And that includes all the members, including people of the City of Savannah's staff. Then once this is presented, then we get feedback from the public, because that's part of this whole process. Feedback from the public basically has enough input to do some sway, then that technical coordinating committee will go and look at it. If we make a change based on the comments that you made, then we have to rescore all of the projects
yes.
based on that change.
Yes.
So we're just trying to be consistent and make sure that we're treating everybody fairly.
Yes.
That's a big lift, but I also understand how valuable we are at this place in time as we move forward. And we need to know if the scoring rubric has changed, because I know this has been a priority project multiple successive times in the NTP 2050. And I also know that this particular item was a topic of debate at the TCC, that they disagreed with the scoring and they recommend it be rescored. Can we please share that with the rest of the board as well?
Yes, we will rescore. I said this scoring will go through the public review process, and then this is not final. So this is just to help us for the initial project selection. The projects to be included when you adopt in August 7 might be different from what you see today.
And Mr. Palumbo, just in all clarity, this young woman is the chair of the TCC, and I think that she would probably be the better person to respond to your question with regards to the scoring and any discussion that took place there. As the chair of the TCC, and can give you that additional feedback.
Please.
But as you know, this has been something that has been an issue. Nobody is saying that it's not. And as I said before, there is the opportunity for the projects to be rescored and looked at, but she can go into more detail with regards to what happened at that meeting.
Yeah, so As I said, explain the level of service, just looking at the intersection and not being consistent throughout the day. So that's kind of how that one hits. I think another one that we touched on was the pedestrian access. And so that one was, I think, because the concept that was currently doesn't show that the sidewalks, and there aren't any there now. And so there is the need for it, but I think it was just based on connectivity. And so it's like looking at that one section without looking at how it ties into other places. And so that's why it scored there. And so, yeah, so we did look at it, but it's just based on, again, based on the data and the information that's currently present is what it scored off of. So, yeah, we addressed the needs for the project, and those things are being addressed. So the county is also doing the President Street study. And so in that study, we are definitely making those recommendations to include sidewalks and you know, mobility for non-motorized vehicles and those things. So that information will be available in that study to assist in those recommendations, but that study isn't slated to be completed until February.
Well, I have to understand why in the last time this was presented to this board, it was scored as a 10, and now that it's a 1, what changed?
I don't know. That was the last time.
Oh, okay. You are talking about the 2045 MTP.
Correct.
Okay, okay. The 2045 MTP has a different scoring criteria.
You understand how confusing this might be for this governing body.
Well, some of the criteria actually carried forward. But also, because we added equity this time, we also added resiliency this time.
So we're adding equity and resiliency, why are they all scored 0?
Okay.
Are we measuring them correctly today or not? And what I'm getting at is that this report to me is very clearly underprepared, that we're not prepared to move this ahead today because I don't think that we have accurate information or a clear picture.
Sorry.
And I am at my heart. I know that this is a dangerous intersection. Okay. I would not try to attempt to cross it as a pedestrian or a cyclist if I didn't have to, but other people do. And that's where we have a moral imperative and a responsibility to them. So we need to determine whether or not we are measuring the intersection as it is or its potential value add as a project in the future. And we need to be consistent across the board.
So I can answer your question about equity because I was the one that did the equity scoring. And then I'd also like to reiterate that these scores are not yet final because we are still receiving input on them. So thank you for your input. On to the equity scoring. So for the Preston Street Interchange bridge and ramp reconstruction, the reason why it scored low on equity is because doing reconstruction on a ramp or a freeway interchange doesn't improve access to sidewalks or bike lanes or to transit. So any type of construction on a freeway is not necessarily equitable just because it's next to an existing sidewalk or next to a designated bike lane. So freeway and interstate projects receive an equity score of 0 if those improvements happened on the interstate or the freeway because that only serves access to one form of travel, which is driving. I'd also like to add that if you go to the CORMPO website, on the TCC page, we have the full methodology posted on the TCC, so you can look into the details as to what our methodology was for scoring these projects. So I'm not sure if that answers your question. Or
in addition to that, Mr. Palumbo, I think that you should note that the way that these are put together, like right now we're working on the 2050 plan. The 2045 plan was worked on previously to that. We've got a new administration. The feds have a new set of criteria, so it changes every time we do the review. That's part of the process. Equity is a really big part of what is important right now to the folks at the federal government. We'll be glad to make sure that we spend some time to go over the criteria that was used previously and what the rationale was behind that for the 2045 plan, and we can go into more detail if you've got more questions about that. But as I said, your staffs were present at these meetings, all of them, and participated in this process, and a vote was taken. Does it mean that this is totally done? No, because this is going through a process. It is not a final document until the meeting that you vote on it in the, I think it's the 7th, when you vote on it.
Let me add in something. The projects, the 30 projects I'm listing over here are selected from like over 200 projects. So, so these are all priority projects. So the important thing is to add the project to the 2050 financially, constrained project list, and which is, let me just go through.
And while she's pulling that up, the other thing too that's happening with this that they took in consideration is that there is a study that has taken place that will be completed in February.
Yeah.
And the results from that could have a significant impact on what happens with this list as well. So that was the other thing that was discussed at the TCC meeting.
And I understand that we're in flux and it's constantly in motion. I find extraordinary value, especially in the equity component, but I want to make sure for this governing body, because it's our names on the dais, that we're approving something that's actually been scored. It cannot be done with a promise that it's going to be in scored correctly.
No, this project is included. This part, I mean, I'm showing you that this is the proposed project list for the 2050 fiscally constrained plan. President Street is in it.
I understand.
It's in.
I mean, I understand that it's in there. I mean, it's not, I don't think that it's in the right band. I think it should be band one. I mean, this is a higher priority, but especially when it comes to the scoring, that it comes, if the scoring changes, we need to understand how the scoring has changed, why some projects are getting a 10 or one, or some are getting a 1. And it's not just us saying it. I know that this was debated at the TCC as well. They passed it with the recommendation that President Street be rescored again. I think we have to heed that recommendation at a minimum.
Yes. We are not saying that we're not going to like rescore or reevaluate the scores, but it's between TCC and now how many things that we have to do. It's just, I mean, we the scoring takes us like how many weeks? I don't remember, but it's like several weeks for us to do the scoring. So between TCC and now, there's no way for us to rescore all of this because we cannot just rescore one project. We have to rescore all of them.
I apologize for putting you in this position, but I believe as a governing body that we should be accurate with everything that we do. And I understand that it takes a long time to be able to do this and rescore it. But if the grading is faulty from the beginning, the product that we produce and approve in the end will be faulty as well. We have to operate at the right cadence and do everything above board.
Yeah, we will rescore during the public comment period when we have the draft out. I mean, what I'm showing over here is not final, and this project, just to give you the project list, but the cost of the project and the cost of band has to be reevaluated during the public comment period. Like if I go to if I go to Richmond Hill and they don't see like Harris Trail Road on it or Port Royal Road on it, they might have problems and then they might ask me. That's why you go to the public and during that time, you also reevaluate all of your information to make sure they're valid. But just between TCC and now, we didn't have time to do all of those rescoring for all of the projects.
I want to make sure that we get off on the right foot. I want to make sure that we're operating all above board and that we're scoring them equitably and fairly across the board. And I don't also want to put the onus on the public to correct our mistakes.
Well, the public is part of it. The public is part of it.
What I'm hearing is approve this today and the public will fix it later.
No. This is just.
Mr. Chairman,
hold on. Can I get somebody else to comment?
Yes.
All right, come on, Ms. Yeah.
I think part of the problem here is we're looking at pedestrian crossing as opposed to an interchange ramp rebuild. Mm-hmm. The interchange ramp rebuild is not going to address the pedestrian problem.
Right.
That's a completely separate problem. And perhaps another item needs to be added to address the pedestrian problem. But that's probably why the score doesn't show up.
Right. And here's the problem I have. Right. I got two problems. Number one, in the 45, we was going one way. Then we got to the 50 and we go, what happened in those 5 years? What changed? I mean, I understand administration change. All right. But before we adopted the 45 plan, this administration was in. All right. This administration has put more monies into transportation. Now we have to do this. All right. We have to do this. And then I'll recognize, the county manager. I understand GDOT. And what GDOT does is GDOT moves freight. Their concern is freight, all right? And getting that logistical freight from point A to point B to point C. I understand there where they are. But our job is to move people, all right? So we sought out and got, what is $300,000 to do the study for the, am I correct in the numbers? All right. That study being done by the county is ongoing and it's not finished yet. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That study should include moving the people and the freight. All right. That train is freight. People on bicycles and people walking are people. So I really don't think we ought to be adopting any of this until we have all the facts and figures in the place. I don't say, and this is my personal opinion, all right? I'll work on my personal opinion, and then we'll go from there. My personal opinion is we have to wait until we get all the facts and include the totality of what we're trying to do. Because, see, we're talking about the President Street, but we're also talking about Pula, Parkway, Airway Avenue, 95. See, that's the same thing. Those are the ones that scored high one time and then scored low the next time.
Okay.
The way to straighten this out is let's don't make decisions based upon non-facts. We don't have all the facts. I'd rather we wait till the facts get in and then do the rescoring and so forth. I'm supposed to recognize the manager now, then I'll come to you. Go ahead, Mr. Manager.
Mr. Chairman, there's clearly some unreadiness amongst members of this board, and I think some clarity needs to be made as to the scoring criteria based on the 2045 and the 2050. So I would just make a recommendation that we table this to the next meeting, and you have an opportunity to meet with members of this board who really want to look at that and make sure they understand before we take a vote.
Okay. Let me just say two things.
One other thing, too, that we will make sure that you get is a chronology of who was in office at the time, because we go back. So the 2045 was based on who was in office over 10 years ago, not who's in office like now. And that is the criteria based on at that time. So we'll make sure that you have all of that, what was in place there, what changed, how this is scored. The changes are basically the criteria changes every couple of years. That's why we do this update. And some projects get moved higher, some projects get moved lower based on whether they got funding or based on whether there's a study. In this case, there's a study on the President Street corridor, which we thought was great, right. But the study's not going to be completed until February. So it's ranked at 85 because you don't have, that's because the study's not going to be done until then. That's where we will get the actual final facts. So it was basically, we're basically looking at it with regards to having it where it is, but knowing that we have the opportunity to do some moving around once we get that final document that will have some of the more detailed information. So we will do whatever you choose as a board, we will be glad to do that. Mm-hmm. But I'm just making sure that, you know, we'll make sure you have all of the information. Did not know that that was something you're interested in, but we'll be glad to do that. And we'll be glad to make sure that we share that information with you.
That's right.
Another thing I want to mention is 2045 MTP also based on the model of travel demand model output.
Yes, that was what I was going to get.
So at that time, it might show level of service F, but this model output that gave us is level service C or D. So that's probably didn't get the score.
Correct.
So
we just need some clarity on that.
Yeah. So I have to check back what 2045 model looks like. Before I can give you the final score, but as of now, the GDOT travel demand model output, it doesn't show level service E or F. So that's why you got one. You didn't get 10. If it's E or F, it's definitely 10.
Well, I concur with Mr. Cagle's recommendation. I think this governing body deserves to have a little bit more background and input, and that I make a motion to continue this item number 3 until our next meeting.
We cannot do that. Okay. I think we would like to have at least approve
Whoa, cousin. Everybody stop. You can't say what this board can't do.
Oh, so, sorry, okay. Sorry.
Hold that now. He put a motion on the floor. The next order of parliamentary procedure is there a second on this board?
Second, Milder.
All right. So there's a proper motion and second that this be tabled until next time. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote starting to my far left.
Walker, yes.
Hutcherson, yes.
Callahan, yes.
Hicks, yes.
Milder, yes.
Colombo, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Milton, yes.
Scholar, yes.
Jarrett, no.
Cody, yes.
Campbell, yes.
Means yes.
All right. Chairman, yes.
Let me just ask you this question. If you table this, we are not going to do the 30-day public review period. We are not going to adopt the 25th MTP. You will all lose federal dollars. Can you afford that?
No, I don't think it's that drastic. All right.
That's
listen to what
I'd like to jump in, please.
Who's that? Somebody.
This is Joe Longo with Federal Highway. I'm online. Sorry. I just wanted to jump in and remind you all that if the MTP does lapse, TIP projects cannot be authorized.
Right.
So in other words, all right, just making sure everyone's clear about that. I think that's what Lycode is getting at.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Joe. So we are not going to adopt the 2050 MTP on August the 7th. So so you're not going to get any TIP projects done, basically.
Mr. Chairman.
That's the risk.
My understanding is that August 7th is the deadline.
Yes. So you want to table it until August the 7th. So that means we cannot adopt the plan until probably October or December. So that means during that time, no TIP project will get done.
Is it possible to do a special meeting?
We do have the ability to have special call meetings.
That's right.
Here's what I'm getting at now. There's a happy median here where we can meet everybody. Whether we're talking about federal money, whether we're talking about state money, whether we're talking about local money, all right? The happy median is that we get in the information that's not in here that Mr. Colombo is talking about. Colombo is talking about that the manager is talking about. As I said to you and the manager earlier, we need to meet and get those facts and figures together along with the engineering department from the county, the city, whoever else is working with us on the flyover, and I'm calling it flyover now. I don't say it's going to be a flyover, all right? Out at Pooler Parkway, Airway Avenue 95. We need to get those facts and have those things in place by the deadline, because one of the things that I have said from day one is that we're not letting anything lapse to send no money back, all right? Yes, sir.
And this is for the executive director. If you would, could you get us a schedule, knowing that we've got deadlines to meet and knowing that
right. We've
got other information that several of the board members want to revisit? Could you get us a timeline as to when we need to meet again to fulfill all the requirements that we have?
In fact, thank you. I was going to suggest that we go and get that for you just so that we can at least do a quick count of time. I don't think in what Wakoda was saying and what the gentleman from the feds was saying is that we've got to have something by the 7th. It does not mean you have to wait to have your meeting that long.
Right.
So we can basically have, if you say, let's try to do a meeting in like by July the 15th, I'm just throwing out an arbitrary date, that should give us some time. It might be a couple, you know, maybe a week later or something, but it would still be in the time frame that would allow us to meet our obligations to have this document in place. So we will work on that while you continue the meeting and come back with an exact date.
Okay.
That will help with regards to picking a time frame if that works. And in the meantime, we will make sure that we send you out the criteria that you're asking for and then go from there.
Mr. Chairman.
All right, hold on just a minute. Yes, ma'am.
How long does it take for us to get the information that's missing?
That's gonna be determined by the MPO staff and the counties and the cities that are involved, the municipalities that's involved.
You're saying that we have a study going on now.
The study doesn't stop us from doing what we need to do for the 2050. All right. What the study does is the study gives us direction as to where we say we want to go and what is the need for the public. All right. Sure, we need to get over the train, but we also need pedestrian ways. We also need bikeways. And see, that just does not for this particular project, but there are other projects on here. Like for instance, what's that place called down in Richmond Hill down in Bryan County? I shouldn't say Richmond Hill, Bryan County.
Okay. There are three projects in the Bryan County, Richmond Hill area, and two of those, Port Royal and Harris Trail Road, they are local roads, so they're not eligible for federal dollars.
Right.
But they do have another one that I did add for geographic equity, adding in the Belfast Keller Road.
So what I'm saying to all of our people on the board, all right, we're dealing within your jurisdiction. You need to make sure that you get the questions that need to be answered so that this body can make an intelligent decision mm-hmm. about how we're going forward. All right. And to me, what we have to do as a board is we have to make ourselves available. If for 1 week from today, we need to meet again, we need to meet again and get the information in. All right. Now, what that does put on alert is all staff members, whether we're talking about county staff, city staff, whomever staff, all right, state staff, whoever, all need to be a part of getting the data that we need so that we can make that intelligent decision.
Are we still targeting August 7th adoption, or are we going to be delayed?
We don't have a choice in that matter. All right, you heard what the gentleman from the Fed said. We've got to have something in place by the 7th, right?
As I said, you know, I'm looking at the master calendar right now and counting backwards, so that we know we have to make sure we've got time to advertise.
Right.
You have to do that. And the question becomes, if you guys are willing, we can announce today if you're going to have a special called meeting. So that will help it.
That's why I said a week from today.
And then the second one, well, we need to try to do a little bit longer, but what we can do is, try to have a meeting so that we can get the rest of the folks with the TCC and others together to revisit and look at some of the things that were mentioned, and so that we share that information. Again, we have to make sure we're including everybody in this process. I would suggest that we look at maybe a special call meeting on the 17th. That gives everybody an opportunity to get the information.
17th of July. July.
And what that does is it gives us
work.
1, 2, 3 weeks we'll before
be
the 7th.
For the 2050 MTP, we need to have 30-day public comment period.
Right. I understand that. Come here.
Who's the what? 16th.
Come back on the 17th.
That's what my thing said. I'm out till the
17th.
Right?
Yeah.
Hold on. Ms.
Friday, 19.
Ms. Wilson.
Yeah.
How long does the public comment period have to be?
That's 30 days.
The public
comment has to be 30 days.
All right.
That's not the advertising whatever is not the issue. It's the public comment time that's the issue.
Right.
The comment period has to be 30 days, and you also have at least 3 working days additional to that. So you basically have 35 days.
35 days.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman,
sure.
If I may offer perhaps an alternative or a compromise, is that we may be out of time, and I ask staff to never put us in this position again if possible. Please, we are left with diminishing returns at this point, but as an alternative, would it be possible for us to approve this item with the condition that they be rescored? Is that
yes.
an eligible
yes.
and viable
I mean,
path?
That's what we are planning to do.
And that's what we were.
That's what we're planning
Palumbo,
to do.
That's what we were during this time, Mr. Palumbo.
Yeah.
That's what we were saying. That's
I mean,
what
we can act
saying.
Incredulous, but we need to be able to present that information, that if we're, you know, very clear that we can approve a list today with the condition that it will be restored.
Cost band and then the cost estimate and scoring and the prioritizing scoring will be reevaluated. Yes.
Right. And we
just need an admission from staff that this is a faulty report that we're approving. I mean, you can understand we are laymen up here. We are elected by our peers. We are trying to understand how you put a list in front of us, but you're also encouraging us to rescore the list that you have presented.
We were not aware of the like rescoring requirement until the last TCC meeting last Thursday. So it's like we presented the scoring results to the TCC on May the 15th. So we asked for input, but we didn't get any input until we have this project list. And suddenly that project wasn't included, and suddenly this scoring criteria became a problem. But we did ask for input from TCC after May the 15th. So, I mean, what we were presenting to you today is just, okay, you can approve this drafted project list, and then all the project costs, I mean, even this Patterson Street, right now I'm using the T-SPLOST cost estimate as the basis for cost estimating. But that might be false because the recommendation from the study might give us like more specific cost. So might have something. So a lot of assumptions have been made on this based on the different concepts.
And the other thing too, and we'd be glad to pull up the methodology if you want to see it right now. But the other issue is, and maybe this should have been presented as you basically weighing in on the draft report that we can put out to the public for comment. But we have said and made it very clear to your staff and to anybody else that's asked a question about this, that moving forward through this process does not mean that we will not look at doing a rescore as we get more information in and feedback from the public. The report is sound because we use the same methodology that we use and that has been used for anybody doing a report like this. We have to use what we've got. We've got to use what was presented and feedback we got. This has been out since May the 15th. And actually before May the 15th, because we sent this stuff out before to make sure that we got participation for the TCC. But I can assure you, Mr. Palumbo, that if you all basically move forward with this so that we can get public input, this is not the final report. The final report will be what you vote on in August. That we will make sure that we make that as a priority to make sure that we deal with rescoring.
Yeah, also, I also want to mention that the draft report that we're going to go through the 30-day public review period includes all chapters. So every word in that document is subject to public input. Your public input. So you're providing us, you want us to do the rescoring, that's public input. So we have to address all of that. So public, not only in the general public, but also the elected officials and appointed officials or designees. I mean, you give us the public input. We have to address every comment we receive regarding that document. So if I have, because I was contacting Steve Henry about the cameras the city of Savannah has, because I have over there, it says we have more than 500. And Steve Henry said that's wrong. So it should be like 300 something. So I mean, even that number I have to correct in that report. So everything in that report needs to be addressed. Yes. So including the scoring, because I mean, this is a big issue. You already pointed out the scoring. We need to rescore, and then the project list and final cost estimate. Everything from that big document. So Asia, myself, Anna, and Janice, we have been working for the past 2 months to compile that big document. But I mean, normally with We have such a small staff. I can tell you the Gainesville, they have 5 staff members. They are still allowed to use consultants. We are the only one that are not, we are the only one in Atlanta. They have more than 20 people to work on the MTP. We only have like how many people we work on, not only MTP. I mean, how long have we worked on the reapportionment process?
And I understand that you have a very hard job, but you have a duty to inform this board when you're up against that wall so you don't put us in this position. That is the relationship that we have. Send up the alarm. Tell us. And I understand that you've been working with our city staff, but you have to work with the board members as well. That is our duty. to this board to make an informed decision for the good of the people. Because right now where my decision making is, right, I'm thinking about, am I going to move forward on something that I know is a dangerous intersection? Is somebody going to die because I move forward with something today because I didn't have a choice? That's my decision tree right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm elected by, you know.
Won't improve pedestrian.
I believe
access.
That we need a point of order, Mr. Chairman. You need to be recognized by the chair. Because this opportunity that we have in front of us, I don't want to get a train wreck, literally,
yeah.
Where we're not going to get it approved. But I need, as a condition, I will support this today if the condition is set in stone and made part of the motion that we rescore this entire rubric and this matrix.
We already told you that's part of our plan, that we're going to address that during the public comment period. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, if
all right, so let's go.
Mr. Chairman, this is Dr. Shabazz.
I'm listening.
Can you all hear me? Okay.
I'm listening.
I've been listening through all of this, and I want to say something before you all took a vote. But in reference to, I appreciate the conversation on President Street, but I must put in my comments to a few of the other items on this list. And first of all, I want to thank the staff. Thank the staff who have done the work thus far, and also including what we're discussing as part of the top tier 30 projects that is a part of what has come out of the 200 or 300 projects that's been on this MTP 2050 plan. So I appreciate the work thus far. I appreciate this conversation on today. But I must, before all of these conversations, even this project that we're talking about now, I must bring your attention back. And also, it is my duty to keep Project DREN on top of everybody's mind. So with the items, three of the items that are on this list, and those items are in reference to Lyons Parkway, the widening of Lyons Parkway, and the other two, thank you so much for moving the screen up for me. The 516 Lyons Parkway widening, the 516 Lyons Parkway interchange, I-16, and the I-516 widening in reference to Mildred Street and Veterans Parkway. I just want to ask the question on, and I can't see the scoring of those projects. Ms. Wakoda, thank you so much, Mrs. Wilson, for your comments. Can you all tell me and the public where they are? Because I appreciate the President Street conversation, but I need to make sure that this project is in sync, is scored properly.
Okay. President, Project DREN is already in the pipeline, so it doesn't go through the scoring process. So it's automatically carried over to the 2050 MTP because it's already in the pipeline. In terms of I-516, I can just tell you the score. The total score for I-516 widening from I-16 to Veterans Parkway is 91. Interchange at I-95, that's 88.5. And I-516 widening between Veterans Parkway and Mildred is 88.5.
All right. Fantastic. All right. I just want to make sure and to also at every opportunity, even though I'm on this public comment side at this particular moment, keep in the minds of this almost 20 to 25 year project on everybody's mind. So thank you all so much for the information, and I'll mute myself again. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Mr. Chairman.
City Manager.
Yeah, thank you, Jay Melder. I'd like to echo the amendment to maybe perhaps make a amendment to the motion and the vote that happened earlier, if that's an order, to approve the draft list with the condition that all of the projects are rescored, and specifically the President Street project with particular focus.
Does that get us where we need to be? Okay, I'm getting all these bowing in the heads. Okay, there's a motion.
Palumbo, second.
Probably motion and second that we adopt the
the 2050 MTP. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your votes by your name and your vote. It's on my right.
Means yes.
Campbell, yes.
Cody, yes.
Scholar, yes.
Milton, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
Hicks, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Hutcherson, yes.
Walker, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right, we there?
So you don't want to go through the project list?
No, what she wants to do, what you're going to do now is, you're going to provide the information.
We will basically provide you with the information
right.
That was used. We will go back historically and find out what was used for the criteria before and give you kind of a list of saying, you know, this is the time frame or data that was used to get this information. And we'll give you, it's on the website, but we will basically make sure that we put it all in one file so that you all get it electronically what that scoring information is. And we'll make sure that we send that out to you. So okay. You will have that.
Can we still schedule a working workshop on the 17th of July?
If you would like to, that's up to you, Mr. Chairman.
We won't be back.
17.
Yeah. Here's what I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to make sure that we can open up the public comment period or the public period, right? So that we cover those 35 days,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
What day is that going to start?
Well, by the fact that if you all are approving what the motion that Mr. Miller just made, that gives us an opportunity to get your feedback. So the basically, you know, if you wanted to meet or get together to go over that, we can use that too as a public meeting to get input from you. But it doesn't have anything to do with that time frame. We just needed to have some feedback right. and support to get this process started. So you will be fine if you wanted to be on the 17th.
Yeah, but still tell me when the public comment period.
The public comment period, the way that it is set up, it was to start on July 1, and it was to end on the 7th.
Okay. And the reason I ask you that, the reason I'm saying that is because I think it's incumbent upon all of us to, and especially in our municipalities, on your website, let folks know that that's going. Because everybody do not read the MPC's or the MPO's website, all right? But if you put it on, if we put it out, and I'm just using because I'm looking this way, we put it on Garden City's website, Port Wentworth's website, Poole's website, who am I missing over there? Yeah, Richmond Hill, all right? If we make sure that we've got it on Tybee and Thunderbolt and everybody else's website, urging the public to take part in the public comment time, because then we don't get to the place and get behind eight ball as Alderman Palumbo says, where the public didn't have a chance or we didn't get but two or three people to comment. Now we've got all these other people now who are asking us about this, that, and the other. See, so we put it on the city website, and then have all elected officials to urge their constituents to make those comments, here's what's on the docket to be done, the widening and everything else. All right. So that we get that input from this list that we have here. Cause see, it's got Fort O'Gar Road on here. It's got Lions Parkway on here. We've got. Put your glasses on so you can see.
Yep. Please take a look at this list because you don't want to see the presentation today, but I still encourage you to take a look at this list to see whether this making sense to you. So if you have questions or you want to question any of those, just let us know as soon as possible. Because this is just a preliminary draft so that we can go to the public and have something.
See,
That's what I'm trying to get to.
That's what I'm trying to get to make sure, you know, so folks don't come back and say they didn't have a chance, they didn't know. Did I have somebody else?
I was just going to suggest that if you would like, we could come to, you know, the county meeting because it's streamed and come to the city meeting because it's streamed and give an overview of this process and encourage people to participate as well. So we can also do that. And that would be a good way to get people to participate because they could send us email comment or things of that nature with regard to this document.
If you show up Friday doing the information of this Friday, all right, if you show up at the county meeting this Friday doing the information section, we can do that. All right.
Okay.
That'll be part of the manager's information that we can give out so we can get it out there. Because I think we can cut off a whole lot of this if we get that out there. All right. Anything else now along these lines?
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Shabazz again.
All right.
There was a term used that the evaluations of what they were doing, the staff was doing on this list is coming from the T-SPLOS list. The cost was coming from a T-SPLOS list. I'm just sort of need some explanation on what T-SPLOS list are we talking about, because Chatham County, you know, we work hard on T-SPLOS.
Let me give you your explanation. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we had the T-SPLOS on the ballot, 2 years ago?
Yes.
This project was on that list and it had a cost estimate on there. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Then it didn't pass, but we had already applied for federal funding for the study. So then the federal funding came through for the study. And what they did was they took that suggested cost from 2 years ago. That's what they had to work with.
Yeah, because we don't have.
Because they don't have anything else.
Yeah, we don't have anything else, yes.
Right. Because everything else is in the study.
Okay.
And the study is ongoing.
Yeah.
So they took what information they did have, which is old information, and you all know that. Everybody in here must be realistic, all right? How you thought 2 years ago is a wash, because everything in Chatham County is changing. I don't care where you live in Chatham County. Everything is changing because of the all of a sudden growth and the migration that we have here. All right. So what you thought before need to go out the door and you need to rethink what you thought. All right. I'm not saying you can't build off of what you thought, because you can. That gives you a starting point. But I'll give you an example from the county standpoint. The John Carter Road was not a priority until Hyundai showed up. When Hyundai showed up, then the manufacturing, which is located at I-16 and Old River Road, but John Carter is on the backside of that, all right? Now all of a sudden that had to become a priority. Well, we're talking about just regrading it and resurfacing it. Not going to work. It's not going to work. The road was built for a tractor and a pickup truck. Now it has 40 or 50 dump truck tractor trailers traveling on it per day. How many of y'all been on Little Neck Road lately? You see how many potholes and stuff we got out there? And we got out there because in the last 18 months or maybe a little longer, traffic has changed. Traffic continued to change because we've got all those approved subdivisions that's going to pop up. So you're going to have about 9,000 new residents out there on Little Neck Road. So it cannot stay as a tractor and a trailer and a pickup truck. It cannot stay that way. We have to make adjustments as we come. The same thing apply here. All right. Nobody gets upset with anybody. Just what adjustments do we need to make? Like, for instance, now I can go to Richmond Hill because I'm from there a little bit. Right. When down there used to be, Rabbit Hill. Nice Bell Keller Road. Didn't exist. Now it exists.
Not dead man's curve.
Listen, we've got a whole lot of changes we've got to make in here. So the thing is that we're going to have to build the midnight oil. We're going to have to build more in the morning oil. We're going to have to build in the day oil. We're going to have to do what we have to do in order that we may meet the needs of the constituents that are in our area, all right? There once was a time when the city of Savannah didn't go any further than 54th Street in here. Now you can forget that, right? Am I right? So therefore, we have to make those changes. And so we should not be afraid of changes, but We need to have the data and information so that we can make intelligent decisions. And I've stressed that over and over again. Anything else you need to say about
this? I just want to mention the cost estimating, because I do have a like comment section indicating where the cost to come from. So I mean, this is subject to your review as well. If you see that this cost is like coming from 3R307 corridor study, or if the GDOT project manager provides the cost numbers to me, I feel more comfortable. If the numbers come from the TIP, I feel more comfortable. But all the others, I have to have the numbers come from somewhere. We do have a cost estimating too, but cost estimating too doesn't include the right of way cost. So if I have two numbers, I normally use the higher number. So like Coastal Empire study has the STR 21 number, and then cost estimating to also have STR 21 number, but that one is lower. I don't trust the lower number because you know the cost. So I normally use the higher number. So if you want to review the information, this is the information for you to review as well to make sure that it makes sense to you. If it doesn't make any sense, we need to revise the cost. We need to revise cost spend as well.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I mean, if we cannot do a workshop on this, could we at very least have a agenda item at the next meeting prior to this vote, which basically if we take President Street and then break it down, that particular project, and determine how the scoring took place, because, you know, I agree. I mean, there's it pretty obvious when something goes from a 10 to a 1, just saying the administration change doesn't carry enough water for me, to make the determination that, that is the reason, of the scoring change. So maybe breaking that down to determine, and I understand it'll be a new score by the time we meet, kind of what happens. So we have a better understanding of what has to be done on that particular project to get the score up.
So maybe we can just have two example projects, including President Street, so we see how this ranked. And even for the 2045 plan, we will see what their model outlook was, if it's like level service E or F. And now this 2050 model they gave us is level service C or F. So you can see the comparison. So it's like not the staff made up the numbers. So we do have something to rely on. So we will probably have like two examples to show you that.
Okay. I think that's good. Yeah. All right. Anybody else?
Mr. Chairman, one more thing. Dr. Shabazz, I would like to say, because I was in front of and moving along with the chairman during the 2 years ago, during the time of the T-SPLOS and getting a public comment, and you all were talking about the public comment and how the reach should continue, and to look at some new ways. There was a template and a model that was used during the time of getting the public comment, the public awareness during the T-SPLOS time. I think we need to, Mr. Chairman, you led the effort and to put that model in front of whoever it needs to be in front of, so that we can get like the cost estimates we're using from T-SPLOS, so that we can get the input from the public like we did. So I just wanted to put that on the table on the item that you were talking about earlier in reference to public input and public meetings and public comment.
Okay, well, yes, I still have that template and it's still available. I'll let anybody who wanted have it.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, ready now?
Okay.
All right, let's go on to the bylaws. What do you want to tell us about that?
Okay. Before I move on to the bylaws, sure. Just want to mention that those agencies and the governments who haven't executed the MOU, please try to send us the signature page as soon as possible. Because we got Thunderbolt today, we got Garden City today, and then we got MPC. I think Airport, we got CAD. We haven't got anything yet. Richmond Hill still missing. Chatham County, we know you executed it, but we need to get the signature page. City of Savannah still haven't executed it, and I don't know what is the status on MOU.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, we have a couple of clarifying questions we'd like to just address. One, you know, and we agree with vast majority of the changes, you know, and welcome our participation. Two clarifying points. One, we noticed that the chairmanship roles each year, is that an established best practice, or how does that compare to our peers?
The chairman?
As far as electing, you know, electing the chairman, you know, and then every year, seems like a very short runway. Is that the norm for, you know?
Yeah, that's the norm, yeah.
Each year? And then the other was, we noticed an amendment of title change of the MPC director to CEO. Could we get some clarity? Has the title changed? And that's, okay.
That's the MPC board
did that. Oh, MPC board voted, did a title change?
Yes.
Okay.
Of the MPC. Does that make her executive director of the MPO?
Yes.
And we're moving over to CEO now. Is that right?
No, still both. It's the executive director and CEO. It's very similar to the way that CAD is set up and other entities that have multiple.
Okay, so
reason that this was changed, Mr. Palumbo, was that it's just being consistent with the title that was in the previous reports.
Okay, good. So our MPC director is now not an executive director, but a CEO.
I'm an executive director and a CEO.
/CEO. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so for those of you who haven't sent us that, actually, I think Effingham County and Fuller have already sent us their signature page. So thank you very much. So please send us that as soon as possible. The bylaws update, we did talk about the bylaws update several times. We still put in the draft over here because we're still working on it. I would just go over this. The planning area boundary, I did add that we adopted the revised boundary in February, and I added in the language the governor approved the boundary. So added that language over there. And you can see the updated boundary. And then organizational structure, we consolidated CEC and ACAT. So that become a Transportation Equity and Public Involvement Committee. And then we are establishing a new committee, Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. So that's why I updated the organizational structure over here. But the Quorum PO board, still the board. So you will have like four different committees underneath you. So TCC stays the same and FX stays the same committee, but two new committees. So you can see over here the TCC and ADFAC still are there, and then the Transportation Equity and the Bicycle Pedestrian Committee newly added. For the Quorum PO Board, to be consistent, because previously we have chairman, and then somebody suggested because chairperson might be chairwoman, so we changed the chairman to chairperson. So you can see that, and all the others have designees like. City of Bloomingdale, we have a mayor designee, but the chairman didn't say the chairperson designee. So we added in all designee, and the city of Savannah also the mayor or designee. So just to be consistent with others. And then, Effingham County, added one voting seat. It will be rotating between Guyton and Rincon, because Springfield decided they don't want to be a part of us. That makes it easier for Effingham County. So you won't have like, rotating seat for that. And then Bryan County will be a part of the voting seat in addition to Richmond Hill. And then we removed the executive director from Chatham Area Transit because we have a three modal representative, Savannah Airport Commission, Georgia Ports Authority, and the CAT. So currently GPA and SAV only have one voting seat, and the CAT has two voting seats. We decided because this board is mostly elected officials. So we decide that the CAT board member, CAT board chair will be the voting member for CAT. Previously the CEC and ACAT chairs are on the voting board of this board. Because we are removing, consolidating that committee, so they will be no longer be voting members on this Quorum PO board. So the total member for the Quorum PO board is 23. Non-voting, we also added all designee just to be consistent. If you have one have designee, all the others have designee as well. Responsibilities stays the same, except the Quorum PO board currently, you appoint CEC members, But now we are not going to have a CEC committee, so you don't have to have this CEC appointment anymore. Officers and organizations, we decided that we would implement the election. So Chatham County Commission chair wouldn't be automatically be the Corn Bureau board chair, and the mayor of Savannah wouldn't be automatically the vice chair. So we will have an election, and the election will be held at the last meeting, basically December meeting, for the purpose of for establishment of the chairman and vice chairman next year. I also added in the language, this is the also request language, only elected officials eligible for the position of chairperson and vice chairperson. Appointed officials or designees are not eligible. So you have to be elected, sitting over here to be elected. And also I added in, this should the, we decided that last time that the term will be 1 year. So we will have a 1 year election. And I added this should the number six was the one that I added yesterday, to be consistent with all the other committees. So if the chairperson seat become vacant in the midterm, so the vice chair will automatically assume the chairmanship and it will be elected vice chair. But should both cannot serve, and we would do the election during that time. And the rest of those just taking the chairperson on replace the chairman. Duties of the officers don't change. Meetings don't change. The other three, the change number three is like previously says no business may be conducted if you don't have a quorum. So I add that to add, change that to no action items can be voted on. So no action items can be conducted. So if we don't have a quorum, you can still go over the report, but there will be status report. So change that to no action items. And the quorum, changed the sequence previously just to say nine and then in bracket 1/3 of all members plus one. So change the sequence for all of the committees. So it's 1/3 of all members plus one. So nine will be a quorum for this. Board. And then previously the chairman, in the bylaw says chairman will cause a notice to be sent to the board members, at least 7 days ahead of time. So normally it's the staff to do that. So basically the secretary, so Melanie is the secretary to this. So she will direct us to send you. So we change that. Previously it says at least 10 days. But all the other committees like TCC also had 7 days. We normally send you the notice like at least 1 week ahead of time. So we change that to 7 days. So basically that's all the changes that we made for the Corn Bureau board. Oh, the other one, the meeting will also be recorded. Previously the Chatham County is the government channel. They come over here, they shoot the videos, but now we record everything. So as soon as this meeting is over, we actually post the recording to the MPC website. So we decided we delete this language by the government channel because it's also available on YouTube as well. So I just decided to remove that language. And this is the Corn Bureau board. And for the TCC, we added in the staff representative from Effingham County. So that would be a rotating seat between Rinkin and Guyton. And also remove the town of Wurrenberg from the voting member to non-voting member. Because, I mean, it's such a small community, they probably don't have staff member, but if we need to input from them, we will reach out to them. So they will serve in the advisory role and also remove myself or kick myself out of the voting membership for the TCC because I'm basically a staff member. So Melanie will be the voting member for the TCC. And Bryan County, because we added one member for the Corn Bureau board, so we will add a staff member for the Bryan County as well. And the Coastal Regional Commission, they haven't been participating in our meetings for at least 10 years. But we coordinated with them. So we moved the Coastal Regional Commission to non-voting advisory member for the TCC.
Question.
All right. Question from the manager.
Ms. Wakoda, would it be possible to see that the City of Savannah staff represent just to be similar to all the other municipalities, to amend that to staff representative?
Okay, yeah.
City of Savannah? Okay,
sure.
Thank you.
We'll do that. Does Chatham County also want to do the same thing? Because currently we have county engineer or designee. Can we just say staff representative?
Staff representative would be fine.
Staff representative. Okay. So we will change that. Okay. And TCC will be also, yeah, change the chairperson. And the quorum to be consistent. So no action items. And 1/3 of the member plus one would be a quorum. Not that many changes for TCC. For the ADFAC, I added in the three west side municipalities in Chatham County, Port Wentworth, Garden City, and the Pooler, because you are impacted a lot by the freight movement. So I think it makes sense to just add you as one of the voting members. But for some of those people who haven't attended our meetings, like Norfolk Southern and Truck Industries, and so we move them to non-voting. So we will encourage people to who can come to participate. And so those that we will consult, we will move to the non-voting advisory roles. And their responsibilities don't change that much. So they will still preside over the freight plan and development. Election added in election the standard language for all of those committees. And the other thing I talked about, the BPAC, we actually had a meeting because currently we are developing non-motorized transportation plan. So we have a steering committee. So that steering committee is reviewed these bylaws for the BPAC, because many of those people will serve on this bicycle and pedestrian advisory committee. And so we revisited the voting membership and non-voting membership. This has been vetted by the steering committee, and their responsibility is just to do the project selection, prioritization, implementation, coordination. So for the smaller municipalities that probably don't have the staff member, like Thunderbolt, Bloomingdale. So this BPAC, if they do have a project, so the BPAC will be coordinating with maybe Chatham County, because the local project sponsors have to be lab certified to receive federal dollars. You know, some of smaller municipalities probably don't have the capability. So BPAC will coordinate with the bigger municipalities so that you do have a project sponsor and do have a project manager so that we can get the bike and pads projects implemented, and also tracking the implementation. So this will be their priority.
All right, question. Can you go back up to that list for the bicycle pedestrian?
Voting or non-voting?
Yeah, so it says staff representative for Bike Effingham. Is that, should that just be Effingham?
That's an actual organization. Yeah, it's an actual organization.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have a staff, but okay. Could we make it that just Effingham, an Effingham appointee? Because my fear is that, you know, an organization with one or two people, that person can move out of the county and the organization will dissolve. And so if you just have Effingham County appointing a representative from a biking organization there, that might be more stable.
Okay, so you would say staff representative Effingham County?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we can change that.
And then we can appoint somebody from Bike Effingham, but...
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, we can do that. What about Bryan County? Do you want to do the same thing, or Richmond Hill? So we actually, I think when we had the meeting with the steering committee, we actually identified who, like staff representative City of Savannah, who.
Yeah.
But we need to identify the specific people, like Life, we know, like Shannon, Bike Walk Savannah, we know Kayla. So we actually have to know who, would participate.
You have on here staff representative Chatham County, Chatham County Engineering.
Deanna actually,
just let it be staff representative.
Staff representative. Okay.
The engineering part.
I'll take the engineering out. Okay.
Right.
Staff representative.
It may not come from engineering.
Chatham. Okay.
It may come from engineering. It may not, is my point.
So basically our language should be general, pretty general. Okay. Yeah. We will make changes to that. Okay. Yeah, thank you. So, and all the others, officers and duties, so we try to be standardized all of the bylaws for all the committees, so you have quorums, meetings, officers, organizations. So this is what BPAC does. And then, like I mentioned, we don't have CEC anymore, and we don't have ACAT anymore, but the new committee, the Transportation Equity and the Public Involvement Committee, actually take the responsibilities of the previous CEC and ACAT. So they have joint missions on, so they will oversight, they will provide oversight to the Title VI plan, participation plan, language assistance plan, environmental justice report of the Corn Peel. And they will also provide, like previously, the ACAT provides some kind of, they review the paratransit handbook from CAT. So they review that and they provide input. So we will continue to provide that service to the CAT board as well. And then they will also address other transportation equity issues. And then previously, CEC has 15 members. And we only have 6 seats filled, and then the quorum, even the quorum is 3, struggle to have it. And then the ACAT used to have 26 members, and I have been working over here for more than 20 years. I have seen at least 15 of them for the past 20 years, because I don't know who they are, and they never came. So we decided for this, we want to encourage those people who currently come to the ACAT and CEC meetings. So we reduced the numbers to 16, so because we know these are regular attendees, and then all the other agencies, we move them to non-voting, just like the previous committees. So if we need consultation, we will reach out to these agencies. And then the duties and responsibilities is about they are going to do, like already mentioned, the participation plan, Title VI plans. And then they also have officers and elections and organizations. And then the quorum is also 1/3 of all members plus one. So we also have a joint CEC and ACAT meeting. So all those members participated during that meeting actually gave us the actual comments. So all the things that have changed have been vetted through that, both committees through that meeting. And then another thing that I added over here is this is a recommendation from one of the ACAT members. The Corn Peel staff can make typographic and grammatical changes to the bylaws without requiring formal amendments. So just like chairperson, chairman, so that kind. So the staff can make the changes. But any of these changes to the bylaws need to be like each committee, TCC can approve their portion of the TCC bylaws, but the final approval comes from the Corn Peel board. So even if TCC say we endorse our portion of the bylaws, but the final adoption is due by the Corn Peel board. That's what it says over here. I highlighted this, like 2/3 of Corn Peel board must vote affirmatively to modify, change, or repeal these bylaws. And this is one of these amendments from 2021. But I mean, do you still want the 2/3 of all the members to be polled and then do this, or do you want to change this as well? This is the one that I highlighted because I wasn't sure. Or just like majority of the people that present can make the change.
What is the desire of the board? Why express mine? Anybody got a comment as to whether it should be 2/3 or not?
Mr. Chairman, I believe the 2/3 is fair for any, change to the bylaws is a major, that's a major change. I think that there should be, 2/3.
Okay. So we basically, even if the board votes today, we have to reach out to the people who are not here. To make sure they are okay with the bylaws, right? That before it takes effect.
Well, it's not, but making it 2/3 is consistent with Robert Rules of Order.
Okay.
All right. If you look in there.
Okay.
See that it becomes consistent.
Okay. So basically, I don't think we have 2/3 today, right? But will we reach out to those people who were not here to make sure they're okay with the language? Before we finally have the bylaws take effect.
You got a problem. Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't think you need 2/3 once this is enacted, not
right.
Two not ahead. Now.
Okay. So it doesn't impact us now. Okay.
It's not inactive yet.
Okay. But we're requesting that you adopt the proposed file subject to the changes that you mentioned previously.
I understand, but I'm going to his point. Until we adopted, the two-thirds is not in play right now.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Thank you. The staff will just request that you please approve this subject to the changes we're going to make with staff represented to be the language to be more general.
City manager.
Mr. Chairman, Wakota, could you go up again and to the membership of the MPO?
Membership of the MPO. Okay. Membership. Oh, this is DCC.
That was like the first page. Yeah.
Okay, membership up there. Over here.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Now let me ask a question, procedural question. Can we adopt this at the August meeting? Do we have to adopt this today? Because I've got some questions I want to ask, but I'm not going to ask it publicly.
I think we can adopt the bylaws in August. Yeah.
Okay, because there are some questions I have, but I don't want to ask them publicly. All right.
Yeah, because we haven't received all the signatures for the MOU yet.
Right.
So we're going to forward the executed MOU and then updated the bylaws to GDOT in August. So yeah.
Why don't we wait until we got all those MOUs in?
Okay.
I always come back and said you voted it in, but you didn't have ours and we didn't agree to this or we didn't agree to that. See, and so it's one of the questions I had about the MOUs being in place before we voted this in.
Okay, so you want to table this until next meeting?
Table it until next. Anybody agree with me?
If Mr. Chairman, I just have one question.
Sure.
When does the actual new board
December.
Proceed? In December or January next year?
I think we hope to have the new board in August.
In August.
Yeah. Well, if we
can't if you don't have this.
Yeah, we cannot.
Since probably will be seated in January.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
In January, yes.
Because don't we do the new voting type thing? Because one of the things I'll ask this anyway. Might get in trouble, but anyway. I'm with and listening to Alderman Palumbo's question. Why do we have to do it? Why do we have to elect every year? Why can't we do it every 2 years? I mean, I know what other people do, all right? And I know but the feds are not pushing us to do this, so why can't we do every 2 years rather than every year? I'm just looking for consistency and stability.
And Mr. Chairman, to support your point, I know that the Atlanta MPO, their chairman serves 2 year
term. 2 years.
Okay. So you want to change to 2 years. So in that case, do you want to change all the subcommittees as well? Like ADFAC, TCC, BPAC?
I think we need to be consistent throughout the whole document.
Okay.
So if
we decide on 2 years, I would change to 2 years for every committee. Is that okay?
No, what's okay is what this board decided they want. If you think that to his point that we can do it every 2 years rather than every year, the chairman serve 2 years and then we can rotate it or let him or her be reelected. It doesn't matter with me, but I think that the every year thing kind of give us some instability there. I think 2 years if we don't want to go four. All right. But I just my thought now. And at first I wasn't going to say it publicly, but now I done put the cat out of the bag now. I can't get him back in.
Yeah, if the board wants 2 years, we can change it to 2 years.
Chairman, started out, to be candid, we started out with 2 years.
I'm trying to get the board to give me a nod or a yes or something, just to have some stability.
And going through this process, it got pushed to 1 year. So we don't have a problem with 2 years. In fact, we kind of, like I said, that was the initial thought, that 2 years would be more stable to give somebody an opportunity to be there and to get somebody trained up for the
city manager.
Mr. Chairman, with that change, would you be open to voting on this today?
Sure.
Well, then if it's in order, I'll make a motion to approve the bylaws with all of the amendments and corrections and additions made by this board today.
Lumbo, second.
Probably motion and second that we adopt the bylaws with the added changes that we specified. Are you ready for the question? All right, let's begin the voting on my left.
Walker, yes.
Hutcherson, yes.
Callahan, yes.
Yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Milton, yes.
Scholar, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Cody, yes.
Campbell, yes.
Means, yes.
All right, Chairman, yes. All right.
I mean, we will have the new board starting in August.
Yeah.
Okay.
The election is in December and the new board takes
place. Okay.
The officer, I didn't say new board. New officers take place. In
okay.
January.
Okay. Thank
That's
you.
That's what it'd be.
Thank you.
All right. Bylaws done. All right. Other business? I don't have any. All right. Let's go to status reports.
This will be very quick. The non-motorized transportation plan is a document that addresses the development of bike and pedestrian infrastructure in the Corimpio planning area. And the goal of this plan update is to identify new projects, assess the needs of the community, and set new goals for bike and pedestrian infrastructure. Because the MPO is focused on completing the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan, the non-motorized transportation plan will not be adopted this month as previously planned and will instead be adopted at a later date. We will begin to refocus on the non-motorized transportation plan after the adoption of the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan update. This is because the 2050 MTP is a required MPO document, meaning it takes precedence over the non-motorized transportation plan, which is not a required MPO document. And also because the 2050 MTP is a workload-heavy plan update, and so it's kind of all hands on deck trying to get that completed before we can jump back into the non-motorized transportation plan. But again, upon the completion of the 2050 MTP, we will go right back to updating the non-motorized transportation plan. Are there any questions?
Questions? Thank you, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Congestion management? Update?
Yes, we developed the congestion management process, which feeds into the 2050 MTP development. And then this is the final document. We actually have the draft document ready and send it to Federal Highway Administration and GDOT for review. And then they provided some comments. We addressed those comments. And this version actually incorporated all of those comments. So we would just add a cover page and properly post it to our website. And it will be adopted as part of the 2050 MTP probably. Congestion management just basically identifies where the congestion locations are and identify the strategies.
Questions? All right, let's go on to the federal certification review.
The federal certification review is required for the TMAs, the MPOs with more than 200,000 population every 4 years. And we went through our last certification review and then got the certified. And over here, you can see on March 31st, 2021. So our next certification review is due in March 2025. So FHWA and FTA decided they want to start the desk review in July. So we are actually working on the website so that we can post all the required documents there so that they can start the desk review. And then they decided to do a site visit. This tentative date is at the end of October. So after our October meeting, so after we, there are two requirements before our area receive federal dollars from Federal Highway Administration and Federal Transit Administration. One is the MPO has to be certified. Two, you got to have adopted, not 2050, Metropolitan Transportation Plan. So we will make sure that we get certified. So we compile all the documents to make sure we meet all the federal requirements. and then we adopt our plan. So we will probably advertise this to you later. So hopefully we will have a public meeting for the certification. Hopefully you will come and probably see that we are deserving to be certified. Otherwise, we are not going to have any money. So this just to give you an update, because FHWA wants us to put this on the agenda until we are certified. So just want to let you know.
All right, questions? All right. Project status? Kimberly Horn.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members
of the
board.
How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you. My name is Chris Marson Gill. I'm with Kimberly Horn. We're here today to give you an update on the State Route 25 and US 17 corridor. And just to set the stage a little bit, there's lots of studies, right? Everybody loves a study. Not so much really. We like recommendations from the studies and we like projects, and that's what this study is aimed to do. There's statewide studies, there's regional studies, and this is a very specific corridor study that provides granular information to the MPO staff to help program projects moving forward. So we are in the existing condition stage of the story. So we've been boots on the ground collecting data, identifying problem areas. So we come to you today to present our initial findings of existing conditions and to get input from this board regarding those findings and anything that you are aware of or along the corridor that we might not have picked up may not be obvious to us immediately. Again, I'm Chris Marshall. I'm the project manager. Also with me today is Rhodes Hunt. He's going to give you the intelligent part of this presentation. He's the deputy project manager, and we also have another local consultant, Denise Krabowski, who's helping us with stakeholder engagement, and I'll talk a little more about that process as we move on. So we're going to talk about the goals, a little bit of, about the purpose of this meeting. We're going to do an overview of the corridor. We're going to talk about the initial research that we've done. Some potential improvements have surfaced, but we've not vetted improvements at this point. That's part of the next step, and that's what we will cover last is next steps. So the goals, again, are to identify projects, help prioritize those projects, plan projects through the MTP process that we talked about or that was discussed in great detail earlier, and then ultimately wind up with projects in the TIP. The MTP objectives that we consider as part of this study are safety, security, accessibility, mobility, and to your point earlier, we're looking at cars, trucks, people, goods, the whole gamut. This corridor is one of the few that we've worked on that there's no train, which is interesting. All of the others that we've done for the core MPO have had some train issues. This one does not. We certainly, as a result of our recommendations, we want to lower severity and frequency of crashes for all modes of transportation. We want to improve emergency response times. We want to recognize emergency evacuation routes as well. We know the area that we live in, that's very important to the citizens here. And overall, we want to reduce congestion by improving access and maximizing travel time reliability. Travel time reliability doesn't mean that you have the shortest travel time. It means that when I leave point A, I know about how long it's going to take me to get to point B, and that doesn't change day to day. All right. Talked about this a little bit already. We want to review some of these existing conditions, and then we want some input, if you will, regarding problems and potential solutions. So just a quick overview of the corridor, a little over 10.5 miles, right? Starts at the Bryan County, Chatham County line at the Ogeechee River, and it extends to 516, essentially. 40 intersections, lots of driveways, lots of signalized intersections. There's changing corridor typical sections. Some sections are divided with grass. Some are divided with concrete. Some are have a five-lane section where it's just a flush median and no division between the lanes that's raised or physically restrictive. So to process the data and talk about the corridor, we've broken it into six segments. And those segments are based on, again, the typical section, the development along those sections, and the use of those sections to help talk in smaller pieces or to take smaller bites of the project. So when we start on a study like this, there's some things that we have in mind already, right? We want to know where the traffic is the heaviest. So as we're presenting some of the existing conditions, I would like for you all to be thinking about some of these things as well as a primer. Where are the most trucks? Where are the worst performing intersections? I'm sure everybody here has one that they hate along this corridor. Where do we believe the most crashes are occurring? We've got data on that, but it'd be interesting for you guys to think about that. Which area has the greatest growth potential? And then, is this a freight corridor? Is it a commuter corridor? Is it both? What is it? So with that, Rose is going to come up and talk a little more with you about the details, and we're happy to take questions during the presentation or at the end as well.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's nice to see all of y'all again. Again, my name is Rhodes Hunt with Kinley Horn. So I'll try to be brief. My tendency is to dive too deep into the data, so I'll try not to. But I want to start quickly with the discussion of the daily traffic. So again, just for clarity, these six segments are the same six that Chris just introduced. So the volumes are broken out by those six segments. So segment one at the southern end of the corridor, existing traffic is about 33,000 vehicles per day, or VPD. It rises a little bit as you head north towards the State Route 204 interchange. They're almost 34,000 VPD. The volumes are the highest on the entire corridor in segment three, so kind of the one centered about the Berwick community, about 34,500 VPD. What's interesting about this segment is that it actually has the highest growth rate. Over the last 5 years, the traffic has grown about 4% annually. Just for reference, that's a very, very strong growth rate, and we do expect that to continue. Once you get past Dean Forest Road, the volumes tend to taper off a little bit as you continue northbound, going all the way down to 27,000 VPD near the 516 interchange in segment six. What's also interesting about this part of the corridor is the volumes are actually decreasing annually. It's one of the few places I know in town that actually has a negative growth rate. Volumes have actually been dropping by about 2% per year in this part of the corridor. So that's, again, a key piece of information for us as we kind of move forward into forecasting an alternative development. So
can you tell me what segment is six?
Yes, ma'am. So that is from Chatham Parkway north to the 516 interchange. Can you hopefully y'all can see that on the screen here. Yeah, so it's from Chatham.
I'm just trying to see, did you start from southern part of 17 and coming up? Or?
Yeah, so the corridor starts at the Bryan County, Chatham County line at the Ogeechee River. And so segment one runs to about Chevis Road. Segment two centered about the 204 inches. So we kind of broke them out in 1 to 2 mile increments over the 10.5 mile long stretch. And we did that again just because the characteristics changed within each of those. So that's where segment six. Did that answer your question?
How recent is this study?
The data is very recent. We took data, both historical data from GDOT, as well as count data that we collected in January. So it's very recent.
Thank you.
Okay. So as we all know, not all traffic is created equal. So we've also determined the percentage of heavy truck traffic within each of these same segments. And so generally, it's fairly consistent across the entire corridor, ranging from about 5% in segment two to as high as 7%. In a few of the segments. What's interesting about this data is it's actually much lower than some of the studies we've previously conducted, like Chris talked about on State Route 307 and US 80, where we actually saw truck percentages as high as 20% in some portions of those corridors. So what this tells us is that State Route 25 is more of a commuter and commercial route. It still serves freight. It's not to say that it doesn't, but it's much more of a commuter and mover of people than some of the other ones that we've looked at before. So another layer of our analysis is we observe congestion and queuing in both what we call the AM peak hour in the morning and then the PM peak in the afternoon. And so this graphic here shows where we observed congestion in the morning. So the thick red lines that y'all can hopefully see represent some of our observed queuing that we saw in January when we conducted our field observations once school was back in session from the holidays. So a couple key observations here. Generally in the morning, traffic tends to flow northbound, from the southern portions of the corridor, from Bryan County into the commercial and residential areas in Savannah. couple key observations. As we probably are all very well aware, the queuing on eastbound 204 is quite extensive, begins at Don Zipperer Drive and then stretches back to the west onto State Route 25 at the interchange. We do believe this is attributable to the signal at Don Zipperer, but we are coordinating our findings with the current 204 study team to make sure that our recommendations and findings align and are consistent across the board. A couple other key ones, at Cottonvale Road, northbound queuing is about a mile and a half. So again, that Berwick area really contributes to some very slow travel speeds in the morning. And then finally at Chatham Parkway and at 516, the queuing is about half a mile at each of those locations. And so here's a quick picture of the queuing at Cottonvale again. This is in the northbound direction, so this picture is looking back to the south. You can see it stretching really all the way past Berwick Boulevard and then frequently all the way to Quaco Road. And so quickly, a PM snapshot. Generally, it's the inverse of the morning, so traffic's flowing from Savannah to the south, away from Savannah, towards the residential communities in the southern part of the corridor and in Bryan County. So a couple observations here. At the 204 interchange, there's a little bit of queuing on the westbound off-ramp as a lot of traffic tries to make a left turn to head south on 25. At Berwick Boulevard, the queuing extends about a mile back to Cottonvale Road. And then one of the more notable ones, I think, of all is at Chatham Parkway, where, quite frankly, it's bad in all four directions. The queuing is about half a mile on all four approaches. And interesting, I think hopefully y'all can see the red line that stretches down the screen. That's technically the westbound approach on Chatham Parkway. And that stretches all the way to the Veterans Parkway interchange. So this is a picture of that. So this picture is facing east. So you can see the queuing coming towards us on the westbound direction and the queuing extending all the way really to the Veterans Parkway overpass. So I want to talk briefly about crashes. This is probably one of the more, I would say, interesting, notable findings, but certainly one of the more important that we do in the existing conditions phase. When we typically analyze crashes, we do so in the most consecutive available 5-year period of data. So in this case, we're able to analyze data from 2018 to 2022. And within that 5-year period of time, there were about 3,600 crashes reported along the entire 10.7 miles. Fortunately, of these 3,600, most of them were relatively minor, as about 85% were classified as property damage only or PDO, which means that essentially there was no injury reported. However, there were 24 crashes that resulted in a fatality. And of these, about half involved a pedestrian or a bicyclist, and many occurred during dark conditions. This is what we think is a significant safety deficiency. In fact, this fatal crash rate is about triple the statewide average for similarly classified facilities. So again, something that we're going to pay very close attention to as we move forward in the study. And in that light, 5 of the 6 segments that we've talked a lot about had crash rates or a frequency of crashes that exceeded the statewide average. And as a whole, the corridor had a crash rate of double the statewide average. So again, some key data points for us. Using data and then data published by the Federal Highway Administration, this equates to about $170 million per year in crash costs. So all this, again, to say there's a pretty clear need for safety improvements along the corridor. I want to talk a little bit about bikes and peds because they're obviously a very key user and a couple key and significant bike routes along this corridor. State Route 25 does comprise parts of the Georgia Bike Route 95, which is the coastal bike route, as well as the East Coast Greenway. And as Chris mentioned, there's what I would call like an inconsistent typical section. There's just a lot of variability. For example, on the southern half of the corridor, there are on-street bike lanes. But once you get past Dean Forest Road, there are no bike facilities anywhere and just some sporadic sidewalk segments. So what this really does is just kind of discourages, you know, multimodal use. And so one of our main challenges and charges will be to identify improvements in the network where those gaps currently are. In addition to safety benefits, they provide greater connectivity to some pretty cool recreational and commercial facilities, and also enhance safety and really just, again, contribute to a higher quality of life, which all of us strive to do for our friends in Chatham County. As a point of comparison, we have compared and researched recommendations in the non-motorized transportation plan and how they might compare to this study. And the non-motorized plan does recommend sidewalk connectivity in areas where there are already bike facilities. And those, a couple of those areas include Bradley Boulevard to State Route 204, from Bridgewater Drive to Quaco Road, and finally from Berwick Boulevard to Dean Forest Road. And then, as I mentioned, where there are no bike facilities, the non-motorized plan recommends a shared use path to accommodate both bikes and pets from Salt Creek Road, which is just past Dean Forest, to the 516 interchange. So I'll close briefly with a quick discussion on CAT and transit. So shown here on the screen is their system map. And as you can see, most of the corridor is served by bus route 17, which begins at Canebrake Road and then runs through the rest of the corridor past 516 and into Savannah. And then also a part of the corridor is also served by bus route 25 between Chatham Parkway and Gamble Road. And of the, or so along the entire corridor, there are 41 total transit stops. A couple of these 41 are shown here on the screen. The first one being at Cottonville Road. You can see that's part of bus route 17. And then at Chatham Parkway, that's where the bus routes 25 and 17 overlap. But key point here I do want to make is that both of these pictures show a shelter. However, most of the 41 stops don't include a shelter today. They really just consist of a sign or a pad. And you can also see that the accessibility to these can be challenging. There's very little sidewalk connectivity. There's also really not a dedicated area for buses to pull off the road and unload and load passengers. We also understand from Mary last week that CAT's microtransit study really seeks to improve the safety and the ability of microtransit to be able to unload and provide access to these fixed route points. So we do think there is a potential for the corridor to benefit from some enhancements in transit access to really help improve that ridership and hopefully reduce some of the traditional motorist demand. So with that, I'll turn it over to Chris to take us home. Thank y'all.
So just in the way of a quick summary, we talked about capacity and safety improvements along the corridor. Those need to be prioritized to eliminate some bottlenecks along the corridor. And again, the projects or the recommendations from this study must focus on transit, pedestrian, and bicycle facilities as there's a need or demand for all of those along the corridor. To address or again address the typical section along the corridor, at some point, as traffic continues to grow, some means of access management is going to be necessary that typically translates into a raised median or innovative intersections that are limiting the number of movements that can be made from a particular intersection or driveway in order to eliminate conflicts between vehicles and pedestrians or vehicles and vehicles, thereby reducing crash frequency. So we've listed some of the potential improvements along the corridor that we've identified to date. We've grouped those into capacity improvements, alternative mobility investment improvements, and then access control plan to improve safety. I'll let you read those and digest them. In the interest of time, I'm not going to read them all to you, but these are just some of the preliminary recommendations that we've developed as part of the existing conditions analysis and research. So from the next steps perspective, we'll be conducting a stakeholder meeting with members of the business community and some other agencies along the corridor or that are impacted by the corridor improvements. We'll be conducting a future traffic forecast. Again, we've collected a lot of existing data, and then we want to project that data into the future so that we can use that data then to evaluate the alternatives and the concepts that we develop and ultimately lead to the recommendations that we're going to present to the public in an open house format in the future. And then following the public information open house, we'll conduct a final stakeholder meeting and then move forward with a final report that we will present in draft format to the TCC and then again to this body.
Questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to GDOT. We have them on the line. Cool. Is GDOT tuned in?
Not online.
Are they still with us or they're gone?
Well, the report is here if anyone wants to view it.
She's not on the line anymore.
Okay. All right, let's move on. Chatham County.
Hello. So I just wanted to update you on some of the Chatham County projects. For the I-16 at Jimmy Deloach Parkway Interchange, we are working, we have a public information open house for that project on July 2nd. That's going to be 4 to 7 at the Bloomingdale City Hall. And so what we're currently proposing there with GDOT is to do a diverging diamond interchange along with a roundabout at John Carter Road. So if you all have any input on that, that's when the public information open house will be. Also included, I just wanted to provide some additional information on the President Street at Truman Railroad study. We anticipate doing the public information periods in August. We're currently working on the alternatives development. And just because it came up, so the focus of that project is to look at short-term and long-term improvements for that intersection. And so ideally, we're thinking about a grade separation for the long-term, but we're also looking for some short-term projects that will, if the, just because the grade separation is going to be a longer process, we're looking at the feasibility of that. It's focused on freight, commuter, and bike and ped traffic. So all of those things are being considered in the current study. And like I said, public input for that's going to be in August. Also just some other projects, local projects, the US 80 sidewalk projects. That one, we've closed the bid out, and so we'll hopefully be moving that one to construction soon. And then the traffic signal on Johnny Mercer Boulevard at Lyman Hall is currently in service, and so we're just completing cleanup on that project. Are there any questions about any of the Chatham County projects?
All right, thank you. Let's move on to the City of Savannah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joe Sherhouse with the City of Savannah. First project update I have today is for Project Duren. The City of Savannah received the Public Involvement Plan, the PIP, on Friday, June 7th, and the plan will begin implementation July this summer. Next, we have the DeLesseps LaRoche Avenue project, which is currently 25% complete. The current detour for DeLesseps Avenue remains from Costa Rica to Cuba, and grading and concrete installation have started on Cedar Avenue. Truman Trail Phase 2B. City Council awarded, Savannah City Council awarded the construction contract to JHC Corporation on February 8th. The groundbreaking ceremony for this project is scheduled for July 1st. On the corner of 58th Street in the Holly Heights Community Garden at 9:30 a.m. Middle Ground Road, Tide to Town segment. The City of Savannah is in fee negotiations with the highest scoring proposer and anticipates a notice to proceed in August of this year. The I-16 ramp removal project, an MOA between the City of Savannah and the Georgia Department of Transportation, was approved by City Council on December 7th, which outlines the project management roles. This project continues to move forward. Matching funds were submitted to GDOT in March of this year. The City of Savannah was also awarded $1.8 million through the Reconnecting Community Grant to further study this area and potential revitalization efforts. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Unless there's any questions, that's all I have.
Questions? Thank you, sir. Let's go on to Hilton Head, Savannah, Hilton Head International Airport.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have two active construction projects at the airport currently. We're expanding our security checkpoint expansion from three lanes to six lanes, and it's estimated at the moment to be completed in December 2024. And we're also expanding our fuel storage facility by 120,000 gallons. We're about 40% complete on that with scheduled completion date for February 2025. And I'd also like to add that we have five projects that have been awarded that are going to be starting within the next couple of months, totaling approximately $139 million. We're going to be extending taxiway G across Gulfstream Road. We're going to be building a FedEx air cargo facility as well as a multi-tenant building. We're extending our concourse by four gates and doing a we're going to be doing ground boarding from until that terminal expansion is complete. And we're also expanding our on south parking by approximately 1,000 spots.
All right, question? Thank you, sir. Let's go on to Chatham Area Transit Project.
Sorry, it's okay. good afternoon. Mary Moskowitz, Chatham Area Transit. Your board package is included in your agendas. Did she put it out? So I would just like to note on the ferry boat maintenance facility, I just received notice that our MPDES permit was approved today. You also noticed that a lot of our projects are completed, which is good news for us. We are in the middle of our budgeting process. So at your next board report, you will see those updated projects that have been added to our capital improvement plan. I would also like to note that today is our transit rider appreciation day at 3:45. At the ITC, you all look like you could use some lively music and partying, so I encourage you to go. I believe Chairman Cody may have been going there right now. So thank you. That concludes my report, unless there's any questions.
Any questions? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have anything from Takana?
Is anyone from Lats online?
Are they online?
No. Okay. Well, the report is attached.
All right. Let's go on to TIP funding.
Okay. Hold on, let me see.
I know y'all don't expect us to see. Good Lord.
Here's the updated TIP tracking report. There were specifically updates made to Chavez Road and Garrett Avenue and then some GDOT projects. But if you're interested in any of these projects, I can scroll to whichever one you want to see in more detail.
I'm going to take your word that everything you say is true because I'm. Okay. Anyway, any questions? All right. We don't have any public comments, do we? None? All right. That means adjournment for me. Is there a motion?
Motion to adjourn, Mr. Chairman.
Second?
Second, Palumbo.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.